Well, Pezza, for many of us, including everyone here at TGC, that being you and me, it's been a tiring few days. It's been long. It's been emotional. Live show in Christchurch, trying to watch two games in different time zones across the lands and trying to absorb everything that's happened in that time as we return back to our Melbourne homes. But the joy that this game brings you sometimes, just the sheer joy. Now, already, English people, if there are any left on this channel, would have turned off because they're going to say, well, okay, fuck you guys. Don't be so mean to our team. They're trying their best. They make it easy sometimes, you know? I mean, and a lot of people are here for the comedy. So they've given me life, even though we've had over the past maybe 4 days, about 17 minutes sleep. But we're here for it. India, way too good against, at times, a decent side. In other times, a not so decent side. Have you enjoyed this game, the fifth test match of a series that feels like it's been going on for 5 months?
I did, because it finished the way I expected most of the series to actually go. That is, India spins out a team that's basically rolled over and lacking the fundamental skill to play against some of modern cricket's greatest bowlers on their home patch. That's what's really happened in this game. And to me, you know, the denouement of the match, where it's Kuldeep Yadav, who's pick of the bowlers this series for me, although, you know, Ashwin, he's a washed cricketer who's led the wicket-taking charts again. Kuldeep Yadav comes into Joe Root. Joe Root pops it up the chute there to Bumrah, who turns around on one knee, gives it the old fist to the crowd, cut away to Jay Shah, one up the bum, no harm done. It's all about India, you know? Like, that was that was what I was expecting from the series. So it is to England's credit, crow's feet, me saying that, that you know, India took a little while to shake them off in this series. England shook themselves off at different times, and they love to actually give themselves a handshake when you think about it. But yeah, it was it was one foot on the plane stuff. We were saying this the other day, weren't we? Foot on the plane, rollover, time to go home. Bit of defiant stuff from Stokes in the presser. That's what he's going to do. I think at the end of the day, 4-1's about right. England did some good stuff, but they also play a comically high-risk brand of cricket. That means those risks come to fruition at times.
All right. For the last time, Pezza, in this series anyway, Charlie, roll the clip.
Did you think that the power that brought you here had given up on you? But when would you believe in yourself if not at the finish line? Why hit the brakes when there's still fuel in the tank? Because the power that brought you here is still in you. All you need is a little spark to go like hell. Hell energy.
Thanks so much for Hell Energy, to Hell Energy, for joining us over this five test series. No one else believed in us. They didn't believe in us. But here we are. And the quality that they have given us and the conversation starters that Hell Energy have given us has given us life. And the fans, I think, generally speaking, so much humour. Let's just call it like that.
Well, we had multiple questions in our Christchurch live show, like from Kiwis who are watching England versus India reviews about Hell Energy. Mainly wanted to know if it actually existed, but that's because it's an Indian product. But yeah, thank you to Hell Energy. Doff the old cap there.
Okay, let's get these scores up from the final day of this test series. And we start with the very end of India's one and only innings in the game. Jimmy Anderson takes his 700th test wicket. Talk about that in a second. And then Shoaib Bashir gets Jasprit Bumrah not long after that stumped. Close enough to stumping? Anyway, he takes five for... let's go to the bowling card. Shoaib Bashir, 5 for 173. Good for him. Jimmy Anderson, 2 for 60. The next best. Wood and Root, no wickets. Stokes obviously won. And then Tom Hartley the other. So we turn over now to the England innings, the final innings of this series. Crawley was caught for a duck off 16 balls, caught around the corner off Ashwin. Duckett seemed to run past one straight to the Himalayas. He actually ran so far, he's actually halfway up the Himalayas at the moment. Good for him. Ollie Pope out sweeping also from Ashwin. Kuldeep Yadav eventually getting Joe Root the last wicket. Bairstow was out LBW to Kuldeep Yadav. Stokes on the stroke of lunch, I think it was, bowled by Ashwin. Ashwin took actually five of the first six wickets. Ben Folkes, the first weekend after lunch, slog sweeping, didn't look too good. Anyway, all out for 195. India didn't need to bat again and had plenty to spare. Let's go to the bowling card. Ashwin in his 100th test match has taken 5 for here and 9 for in the game. 5 for 77 in this innings. Kuldeep, obviously his 5 in the first innings, finishes with 7 for the game. Bumrah takes 2. And Mosaraj, I don't really know why he was playing. Maybe he was just in the area and they needed to fill 11 players. But he also bowled 1 over. I think it was like in the 45th over as well. Jadeja got 1 for as well. So that's what's happened in the game. India... indeed, win by an innings and 64 runs. Let's talk about India first. And I think you summed it up nicely, Pezza. Some of the greatest players that have ever played this game, especially in red ball cricket, in the bowling department, playing on their home surfaces where the records are just incredible. That's what we're seeing against just a mediocre team. And you know what? None of them let us down, just doing the things. And maybe it might have taken Ashwin a little bit longer to get into his work, so to speak, but we've seen Jadeja over the series. We've seen Kuldeep come in late. We've seen some Bumrah moments. I'm thinking like reverse swing of Yorkers. Ollie Pope might have been the first or second test match. Like, they've all done the things that when you buy a product, you think, I know what I'm going to get with this product. Mm-hmm. And I've received all of the things that I wanted to when purchasing the Indian cricket team.
Exactly right, mate. Well said about the bowlers there. What, you know, the Indian team gives you a price signal beforehand. Mm. You accept the price and you go and engage in that transaction, and you can do that reliably with India. You know that you can go down to that store, purchase what you need to purchase. You're going to get the product. The product is going to deliver for you, and you go about living your life of consumption of that product. And yeah, and happy consumers we are when England are the opponents. And then you throw the batters into it as well. He goes, mm-hmm. Rohit, there's probably a couple of hundreds there. He did some stuff. That's top level analysis right there. Shubman Gill ends up with a couple of hundreds. Still didn't look particularly fluent. He was good in the last game. A couple of hundreds there. He'll be happy with the amount of runs that he got there. And then Jaiswal comes through, player of the series, 712 runs. So it's runs to luck. So you don't even have Kohli. You got no Kohli. You got no KL Rahul. Mm. Shreyas Iyer bowed out. Due to form and other, disputes he seems to have. And Jarrell comes in, and you see Sarfraz Khan. At the end of the day, you're pretty happy if you're India, aren't you?
I would have thought, yeah. I
would have thought so, yeah.
Obviously, the biggest next test for India will be when they come out to Australia at the end of this year. Can they do a three-peat against Australia in Australia? That's a series that even we were talking to guys in Christchurch. We flew back very early this morning back to Melbourne. But yesterday at the ground, I was talking to guys, Aussies that were in New Zealand as well, saying like that they were really excited for the next summer. And I think that's going to be the next test for this Indian team, because the record at home in red ball cricket just remains, I mean, just one of the best records in the history of this 150-year game or whatever the fuck. That's going to be tough. But let's should we talk about Jimmy Anderson? You've got his 700th test wicket. Now, is Jimmy Anderson, Pezza, is he thinking, damn, it's like, it would have been nice to get that one against Sri Lanka or West Indies at Lords or wherever the first game is, you know? Would he really want it at home? Did England cricket want that moment at home? It doesn't matter at all. 700 test wickets. He's the third guy in the history of the fucking game to do it. It seemed like the setting was so grandiose. There's no better place on earth than like at the fucking foot of base camp, you know, to the Colosseum of the universe at that moment. But it's basically in front of some ex-lawyers in the Barmy Army with a trumpet. Did it deserve a richer, fuller experience rather than just nicking off Kuldeep Yadav when they were 900 runs behind in the first innings?
No, not really, because since when is cricket something that you can actually arrange pageantry around? You know, unless you're Stuart Broad ahead of his retirement,
or a match fixer.
That's right. Yeah. I'm talking about the curator, Matt Page. It's his nickname. that's just cricket. You know, you can be the third person to ascend the mountain in the entire history of the game. And you never know. You could just be in a terrible loss in front of guys who are probably redundant from their jobs, in the Barmy Army. I don't know why that drive-by was needed. There could be lawyers. Doesn't matter. But yeah, that's just the nature of the game. You know, he looked very happy, as he should be. It was a good ball, and he's been he's an absolute phenomenon. Jimmy Anderson, all tribalism aside and all of that bullshit. I mean, is he 41, 42?
I think I heard someone say 42, but I swear to God, he only just turned 41. It's getting to the stage where he's like, you know, he's 67. He's one of those.
Yeah, either way, it'd still be pretty good. He's like, 41, is that it?
Yeah. Oh, he's only 41. Oh, okay.
Okay. There's still a few miles on legs there. It's an absolute joke to be still going around and competing and succeeding at his age. And so it's a moment where he singularly is owed huge flowers and respect for what he's achieved. And I think one of the best things about Jimmy Anderson is that like he has become a better player as he's aged. I'm not sure about his numbers in the last year or two necessarily. Probably could be forgiven. At age 42, let's call it, but he's improved, and just it does go to show that there are players who can play deeper into their lives now, into old age, just about if you stay fit. But gee, the rig must be like it's like a perfect storm for him. It must be such a naturally athletic rig to be able to play at the top level at that age.
Mm. He's actually met the Dalai Lama 8 times. They're actually quite close friends now, hence the amount of times he's been there. I think they actually went to school together, the Dalai Lama and Jimmy Anderson. Yeah.
Just go to his house after the day, ride their bikes around.
And that's where the Dalai Lama got it to tail. That might be a double entendre. I don't know. That's a conversation that you and I were having last night.
Jimmy Anderson and the Dalai Lama going to get some tail. I just meant,
yeah, making it go Irish. Is that racist? I've thought about this in the last couple of years, just me personally. Like, is it weird that he's still like their best bowler? Like, is he just in the side because he's just always in the side? Or like, I think he's better than Ollie Robertson. He's still one of their best players, you know? Like, it's not like he's getting long in the tooth, I don't think. It's a bit like, well, you know, a little tap on the shoulder. I still think he's their best performer. Yeah. And how he's learned to bowl dry in the last couple of times they've been to India. That's obviously not like the highlight of his career, bowling dry in foreign conditions for him. But like the skill is just unbelievable. Anyway, should we talk about what everyone is here to talk about, Pezza? And that's the commentary around the game. I'll start first, do you want to talk about how spicy it got between Bairstow and Shubman Gill? And I think Safraz Khan might have given him a send off as well, Bairstow, when he was out at LBW. Did you see that?
Yeah, I caught I watched the footage of it and I saw the transcript of it as well.
Right.
I wasn't as across what had been leading up to it or Safraz's send off. If he did send him, that's awesome. But yeah, look, I wouldn't have thought it was in the on the podium of the greatest back and forth sledging from both parties, to be honest.
No.
I think you're looking at two guys who muddled their comebacks each time, and it was who was the least worst with respect.
Yeah, that's right.
There was no zinger, you know. This is for those who might have missed it, this is so tell me if I've got this wrong, but Bairstow approached Shubman Gill as it slipped. So Bairstow's batting, so his 100th test, and he says, you sledged Jimmy, did you, or something like that. And and Shubman's like, yeah, so what? And he's like, then he got you out next ball. And then Shubman's like, yeah, well, I did have 100 at that point. And then I think, what did Johnny Bairstow says, like, yeah, so what, or something? Or he goes, yeah, 100%, yeah. And then
yeah, he said something like, yeah, it was 100%. It was good.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it was good. I was just chatting. He said, I'm just asking. So are they mates now? And Shubman's like, well, he's sledging. You know, so Shubman says, how many hundreds do you have this series? And Bairstow's like, man, how many hundreds do you have full stop? It's like,
yeah,
oh, a few.
Yeah. Like, what? Yeah, quite a lot in the locker, I would have thought. Yeah.
I reckon I'm going to have more than you after 100 tests. Yeah.
Probably.
Both of them sort of have good number of hundreds as well. So, it was just...
It was a fucking weird exchange. Yeah.
You probably Shubman on points because he's made 100 in the game and India's dicked them. But...
Yeah. Yeah, no. It was like Bairstow loses because he started it for no reason, and the conversation felt like two blokes had accidentally walked into each other in a bar, and then they were sizing each other up with neither one wanting to fight. I was like, "Are you okay? Are you okay? Yeah, well, mate, I'm good. Are you good, mate? I'm fantastic. Yeah. Are you okay, mate? Don't worry about me. Worry about yourself, mate. I'm all good over here. You know, it's like that was the fucking odd exchange. Anyway, good for clicks. All right, I'll start with this quote, Pezza. A bit of humility from Ben Stokes in the press conference after the game. He said this, "We are man enough and big enough to accept that we have been outplayed by the better team since the first test. But as well, with me and who I am and how I look at things, we're going to take the positives from this series with the amount of cricket that we have coming up. And I'm really looking forward to drive this team even further forward." So that just sounds like a normal person saying a normal thing and acknowledging that the other team has played really excellently, probably somewhat expectedly, given that they're the best team at home maybe ever. so that seems like a nice place to start. It's like, okay, yeah, good. I can get on board with that, okay?
Dude,
I like your confidence.
I like it. That's fine.
I like going for the win, but, you know, fair play. The opposition played well. That's all we've been asking for. Yep. Just say the opposition played well.
Yep. No, I have no qualms with that. At all, I think that's completely fine, and I think he's also entitled to say, you know, I'm going to take the positives from it. There's positives for England out of the series. Yep. Like they weren't crushed like Mr. Burns's paper cup, you know, which he eventually gave to Smithers to crush. but India ended up shaking England off and then going to work on them a little bit later. England has things that they can take away from the series for sure. Like, as you've said so many times, he goes, because you don't want to kick a dog while it's down. Well, you do a little bit, but people lose to India. They smash everybody.
Yeah.
You know, this is just another team that's been smashed by India. That's not particularly special. Well, the only things remarkable about it were a lot of the remarks that were made during it.
Yeah. At this point, I just want to highlight that you've tuned in to the Cricket Police.
We are
the cricket police. We will be the arbiters of what is and isn't an acceptable thing to say, okay? Especially after we spent 7 minutes yesterday talking about Shubman Gill's dad's dick. Anyway, that aside, okay? And I also want to say to England fans, if you have clicked to this point specifically to argue with your computer screen or your phone screen or however you're doing this with your pants around your ankles, all of your arguments completely valid. I know what you're going to say. Yes, we are Australian. Yes, your team has won an away Ashes more recently than our team. Your team has won a series away in India more recently than Australia. Australia also lost a series in India very recently. Yes, Australia behaved embarrassingly for decades, and the arrogance that permeated out of that culture was nothing short of disgraceful. Let's get all that let's have that all taken as read, okay? Now I'm going to read you another quote, Pezza. Also from Ben Stokes. The media name Bazball, everyone says, what is it? In my opinion, it's wanting to be a better player. In the face of defeat and failure, Bazball will hopefully inspire people to become better players and become even better than what we were. It's good that there's finally like a term for training.
We used to call that training.
We used to call it going to the nets.
Yeah, it's that's funny. I did read that, and you know that was like Stokes. What the fuck's that?
It's probably hard because he's been like throwing a question. Like, what is it?
I understand what he means. They have been trying to get at this thing. There's no doubt in like their minds and ours that it's like it is a movement, it's a way of thinking and being, it's a lifestyle, so he's just trying to apply like Bazball to like, you know, the whole idea to it, and he does believe that it's about making players better, and you know there are some stats that seem to back that up. And to be honest, like I saw a Guardian headline saying, you know, that Stokes was defiant or something like that in defeat, and like to me we're nothing if not goldfish, he goes. Like, they will just go to their home summer and dick on these other teams and do some really entertaining stuff and probably break some records. And all of that chat will just come back about how good they are. And we'll all just like, you know, because of the two-speed economy of international cricket, England won't be tested at test level again until they have to play Australia or India, you know, home or away. And then that's when we'll find out if anything, you know, if they're any good or if they've improved, you know. Some of the chat's just pump.
I said to you yesterday, I liken it to Lee Trevino and Happy Gilmore just shaking his head, being like, like I just like I feel like I'm looking at my screen half the time and just. I mean, like in the World Test Championship table, England have played 10 games in this series of World Test Championship or whatever you call it. They played 10 games, 5 against Australia, 5 against India. They've won 3 games, 3 out of 10. 5 home, 5 away. It's like, yeah, that's probably about right. That's probably about where they are. They've obviously had a draw there. You know, things happen in cricket. Those have always been the rules, generally speaking. And like, yeah, they're probably about a 3 wins out of 10 against the other two teams that should be good at Test cricket. That's no more, no less. Shall we get into hashtag Ask TGC Pezza to wrap up this series? And I am going to get it right now. In fact, here it is in my phone right now. Shurya Patak, hashtag Ask TGC. Has Ravi Shastri also been deluded by the English media propaganda, Pezza? After Bumrah caught root in long on, Shastri was saying things like, the scoreline isn't reflective of the quality of cricket England has played. India won this 4-1 and lost the first only by 28 runs. Had Sarfraz Khan been handed his debut cap in first test instead of Iyer, who is getting bounced out in Ranji Trophy as well, sad life, can't play pool and hook to save his life. That seems superfluous. I'm pretty sure India somehow would have managed to cross the line. England were good, only in patches. Good spinners. Jimmy was good. Crawley and Duckett as well. And Joe Root when he played like Joe Root. Not really a question in there, just kind of just a couple of thoughts. A bit of a scattergun. But I like the idea that Ravi Shastri is actually an English agent. I like that idea.
Yeah, how is that? It seemed like, a fairly measured, sensible analysis of what happened with a unnecessary... A colourful drive-by on Shreyas Iyer. Come and pull to save his life. Literally.
Yeah, and it's a sad life.
It's a bit Trumpian, that, isn't it? Sad life, really.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Otherwise, it seemed fine. I think I also think, if you do win a series 4-1, then you get the chance to be magnanimous as well. And just go like, oh, yeah, no, you guys played some really good cricket at different time. Yeah, Patchy, Jimmy was good, you know, all good. But we're always going to get over the line, even though we're missing our most famous player and a couple of his mates. No worries. I mean, we do have to shout out Ashwin on his 100th test as well, just finishing the game with 9 for. Just a lazy 9.
He told Kuldeep Yadav at the end of the first innings, just like, I don't need to walk off the field here. I've already taken 35 fifers, then gets a 36th fifer in the next inning. Perfect.
And he took that ball.
Yeah.
Right. Like the way he was getting guys out in the second innings, he goes, just the way he uses cut and seam and stuff like that, angles of the ball, trajectory angles as it's coming down, you're like, oh, is that gonna go straight on or is it going to spin a meter? They both look the same. He also looks like he's about to bowl left-handed as he comes into bowl. You know, it's just a flurry of arms and legs and the flat foot, and it's all out of sync, and it's just brilliant. It's great. He's just a modern great.
Well, speaking of being out of sync, we apologise for the lateness of what these dailies have been for this test match, this 2.5-day test match, but it's just been a tumultuous week with us also being in New Zealand, doing a live show there, plus also covering the other test match, which will be on the channel, day 3 of that test match on the channel later today, after the last ball there for New Zealand and Australia. I want to thank everyone for joining us over the last little while, or coming back to the channel after whatever happened at the end of last year. I forget in the same way that everyone else does. Don't worry about that. Now, the IPL starts in a couple of weeks' time. so excited to roll out our programming for that. It's going to be 5 shows a week. It's going to be all sorts of graphics on the screen. We're elevating as much as we can. So thank you for joining us. If you've enjoyed TJC over this series or the last little while, please do share it with your friends. Click subscribe if you're new here as well. Drop a comment. Tell us how you found us. And we'll see you guys on the internet literally this afternoon.